this parable given to us by Christ is all about the Jewish people and how they would reject him. They understood well the first reading, that the vineyard is God's house, God's chosen people. Christ would come, and to prepare for his coming, the prophets would arrive. And the Jews persecuted the prophets and killed them. So our Lord is reminding them, that's what you've done, that's what's going to happen again. And then, eventually, God would send his son. The owner would send his own son. And they seized him and tried to take his inheritance. They tried to deny that Christ is divine. They seized him and threw him out of the vineyard. They took him outside of Jerusalem, the city itself, and there they crucified him. Our Lord is being very plain in his language. This parable is in reference to you. You're going to reject me. I'm the keystone of the edifice of the Kahal, the church, the body of Christ I'm going to establish, and you will reject me. They rejected our Lord not because they did not understand, but rather they did not listen. Big difference between hearing and listening. We hear many things, but how much do we understand within? Do we listen? And they didn't. They were so busy with their own activities, they failed to tune in to God and to Christ. And therefore the Jews, those who did convert, became Christians, but many did not. And hence, the chosen people became all people. Paul would take the gospel to the non-Jews. And hence the final statement of the Lord, that the kingdom of God will be taken from you, miserable, wretched Jews, you Sadducees and Pharisees, and given to the non-Jews. And they, with my grace, will produce fruit. Later on, our Lord would say, with regard to the context of a vineyard, I am the vine. And you are the branches. And with your grace, well, rather my grace in your soul, belonging to me and my royal family by virtue of your baptism, just as sap brings forth life into what looks like dead branches, as we can see right now in springtime, so too his grace brings forth fruit in our Christian lives, provided we are connected as branches to the vine. And the fruit from the vine is what we call wine. Of course, there's grapes, table grapes, port if the wine's left long enough. But that is that wine and vine are different as words according to one V. Add a V to the vine and it becomes wine. Add prayer to hearing and then we listen to God's voice. We listen and we learn. It's so important that we don't just hear the gospel, but we pray the gospel. We listen to it within. And hence the importance of silence in our life so that God can rather speak to us. We can tune in to what he wants us to see and what he wants us to do with our lives. The Jews did not tune in. They did not listen because they had no silence within. They did not pray as they ought. During the month of October, we refocus on the value of the rosary. It's a marvellous prayer because it unites hands, heart and head. Our hands pray with the beads, our heart summons up those desires and aspirations, and our mind, the head, fosters the mysteries of our faith. So let us make the effort as daylight saving kicks in tomorrow, tonight, depending on when you put your clock forward, spring forward, that we can spend more time walking and talking to God. You might like to pick up the rosary and go for your evening stroll. Look after your body and soul at the same time. It's a marvellous investment for half an hour. And then we can listen to God. Don't plug something in your ears. Plug God rather in. Pray. So many people go for a walk and they've got something to distract them. They don't listen to God or nature. And we need to do that to know what God wants of us. St. Francis, whose feast is today, died in 1226 at the age of 45, had 20 years to transform the world, and he did it. At a young age, 25, God mystically spoke to him in the church of St. Damien in Assisi. St. Francis, go, rebuild my church. He did it physically, but spiritually. By the time he died, His order had grown into the thousands. He was an extraordinary man, gifted, but a man of tremendous prayer, who listened to God, who knew the value of silence. And today he's fostered and promoted as a great peacemaker. But wait, when we say he's a peacemaker, he built bridges of peace. But that doesn't mean that he was passive. People often think, oh, passivity and peacefulness go hand in hand. They don't. In fact, passivity is unhealthy, as is the word tolerance. During the week we've heard with regards to burkas, we have to be tolerant. What on earth is tolerance? 50 years ago, C.S. Lewis wrote a marvellous piece about the tyranny of tolerance. It's right now in our vocab, isn't it? People slot it in. We've got to be kind, we've got to be gentle, we've got to be respectful and tolerant. Since when has tolerance become a virtue? It's not, you know. Christ was never tolerant. Whoa, Father, what a heavy statement. Don't mix the words. Tolerance is not a virtue. In fact, G.K. Chesterton once wrote that the virtue of tolerance is the virtue of indifference. In other words, it's not a virtue at all. Respect is a virtue. Justice is a virtue. We shouldn't be bigots. Bigotry is unhealthy. It's contrary to justice. We shouldn't be religious fanatics. We should be accepting of other people's beliefs. But that's not tolerant. Tolerance is different to that, as is passivity different to peacefulness. St. Francis was a peacemaker, but he was never passive. He never sat back and became inactive. He was most active with God's grace. He went off to Egypt and then to Palestine to convert the Muslims and become a martyr. That's not passivity, that's activity, driven to bring the peace of Christ into people's hearts. You see, he believed in the truths of the faith. He believed in them and acted upon them in a kind and gentle manner. That's why he was a peacemaker. I believe in the truth of Christ. I accept the truths of Christ as I believe that the sun rises. Not because I see the sun, but that through the sun I see everything. That's what grabbed him and enabled him to do great things. And of course, when he came back, having convinced the Sultan that he was a holy man, but the Sultan didn't want to be convinced of the holiness of Christ, he came back to Assisi with his men and built the order. And then he had the right instructions, the rule of the Franciscan order. He wrote it and went to the Pope, and the Pope said, Francis, it's too hard, it's too tough. No one's going to be able to live with this rule. Rewrite it. If he was passive, inactive, he was, couldn't convince the Pope, can't do this. Inactivity is passivity. No, he rewrote it, went back to the Pope. Said, Pope, look, I've written the instruction, the guidebook here. Too tough, Francis, too tough. Go rewrite it again. He went back and rewrote it. And eventually it was accepted. He received the stigmata, as very few saints did and have. He was so holy, people felt the presence of God and the peacefulness that came from that presence. See, Christ brings peace to the soul. But he doesn't bring passivity. He wants us to do things. The same with tolerance. Tolerance is a funny word. It's now most people would class it as a virtue, but it's virtueless. To help you understand what the problem is, think of your car. Most people have a car with drive and reverse or forward and back. Tolerance is when you put the car in neutral. You're going nowhere. That's what tolerance is. It's not a virtue. It's inactivity. It's indifference. It's basically, I do not care. That's unhealthy. That's unhealthy. And therefore, let us respect other people. Let us be mindful of their needs. But don't say, I'm being tolerant, because it means nothing, really. It means I'm doing nothing, which is not a healthy thing to do at all, as we would all admit. So let us think about the word itself, analyse it. You'll go back in history and find the word has kind of snuck into our vocab and is an odd word. It shouldn't be there. As passivity doesn't mean peacefulness, tolerance doesn't mean respect. It means basically indifference. And indifference is so opposed to the love of God. And so opposed to that love that drove the spirit of St. Francis of Assisi, who's the patron saint of Italy and a person we should all turn to at difficult times to help us put up with those people that irate us and make us cranky and annoyed and impatient. Think about his kindness, his gentleness, and his peacefulness. We do that by saying his prayer of peace, which is on the bulletin. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. For your mercy and for your truth's sake, O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is a giving that we receive, in forgiving that we are forgiven, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Saint Francis, pray for us.